Welcome to True Talk on WMNF 88.5 with Ahmed and Summer. I'm just queuing up our show today. And yeah, my things are not ready. Can we... On today's program, we're going to actually be speaking, Summer and I will be discussing our perspective on the VP debate earlier this week. Also, efforts in Florida to get out the vote. As you know, the election is right around the corner, and early voting is about to start. Mail-in ballots. Oh, I had my mask on. It's like strange coming into the station, all the things that we have to do now. Putting on gloves, wearing masks. It's a whole new world. It's also, it takes time to get used to. Even though the pandemic has been around for a while, we were actually doing the show remotely. But now we're actually coming into the station. So, like I said, on today's program, we'll be speaking about a reaction to the VP debate. Summer and I will be talking about that. Also, efforts to get out the vote in Florida. We're also going to be taking your phone calls. That and more when we come back. This is True Talk on WMNF 88.5. Welcome back to True Talk on WMNF 88.5 with Ahmed and Samar. We're your hosts, and Samar is with me. She's not in the studio because of social distancing. She is away. She's remote. Hi, Samar. Welcome to your program.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Because you're remote, I guess you have to speak louder because otherwise you won't sound as clear. So are we allowed to be in the studio at the same time?
I think we can if we tell them and how many are going to be in the studio, because as you notice, it's a skeleton staff. So we could, but I am doing physiotherapy for my shoulder, Ahmed, and I did physiotherapy yesterday, and driving 2 hours each way is going to kill my shoulder.
What is wrong with your shoulder?
I have a slap one injury, which is some sort of a tear. And if you don't take care of it, it can increase. But guess what? Playing, going to the gym and strengthening your back muscles will help. But yesterday I did a lot of deep tissue therapy.
Your voice is, again, a little far away. I'm not sure why.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I had it on speaker.
No, yeah, speaker is not going to work when you're over the air, so...
Okay, sorry. So, you know, the more you strengthen your back muscles, the better your shoulder will be. So I'm so sore today, I can hardly hold the receiver with my right arm. So I didn't want to drive, really, 2 hours each way. It's a long, long way and a long drive.
You need to get one of those hands-free headsets that, you know, everybody has.
Yeah, I know.
Including, you know, whether they're the AirPods or others. But Samar, before we get into our program, I want to tell listeners that this weekend I'm co-hosting a candidate forum, one of the largest in the, you know, in the area. This will focus on Hillsborough County. It's called the United Voices Hillsborough County Candidate Forum. Candidates will meet and debate in person. However, viewers will watch it, you know, remotely. It'll be broadcast remotely online on Facebook Live and other platforms. For people that want to RSVP, they need to go to the website 2020candidateforum.eventbrite.com. 2020candidateforum.eventbrite.com. The forum, Summer, is hosted by the Muslim community in collaboration with United Voices. It will actually be held at the mosque, but because of social distancing and the pandemic, you know, of course, is very limited space. So it will be in person. The candidates will actually be sharing the same stage with social distancing, but the audience will be watching remotely. And, you know...
How many, Ahmed?
How many candidates? Candidates, there'll be 20 candidates there from both sides, a nonpartisan candidate forum. You know, because most people have already decided on the presidential race. You know, there's some that are still undecided, but... majority have already made up their mind who they're voting for. In fact, in Florida, they're already voting with mail-in ballots, and early voting is going to start soon. But most people don't know who's running for local office. They don't know who's running for school board. They don't know the county commission. They don't know who's running for, you know, state house or state senate. And a lot of times, some of these races just go unheard of, and it's only really the base that turns out, or people just show up and they just vote along party lines. But some of these races, for example, school board is nonpartisan, so you don't know what party they're with. So this gives a chance for folks to actually hear directly from the candidates. And it's important because there's some of the issues that the Muslim community or people of color or minorities think about or are concerned about. You know, they're also concerned about the broader issues, but they're some issues that impact them more than others, especially if they're from immigrant communities, you know, stances on immigration. And while local candidates like county commission and others don't necessarily have a lot of say on immigration, however, you know, some of the services or in different languages or things like that that impact them or the school board is really important as well because that's the education. So, the majority of the, you know, I mean, local candidates and local public officials have a huge impact on everyday life. But the focus, of course, in the and when it comes to politics, it's always about the presidential and the national politics and not as much focus on local politics and local candidates, which, again, have the most impact but get lesser attention. So that's what this forum is about. It's going to be Sunday, October 11th, 2:30 p.m. live, and it will be, you can tune in by going to 2020candidateforum.eventbrite.com.
So, Ahmed, are you going to be the moderator? Can people watching ask questions, or we should send them to you?
Yeah, you can send them to me. I will be one of the moderator, but there's also a panel of that will be asking questions. So there's no questions from the audience because again, when you have so many candidates, you have to be able to. It's not just one candidate or two. And, you know, the audience can ask them various questions. There's so many of them that you have to be able to divide up the time, and it doesn't allow for questions from the audience. So there'll be, questions that the moderators will ask.
So you held this before COVID, and people would attend.
Yes, yeah, we've done this for a number of years. We've been doing this for the past, 12 years or even longer. In the Tampa Bay area, yeah, and we'd have a large turnout, you know, sometimes 300, 400 people. It'll be a little, you know, much different this time around where it's, very few people in the audience, just basically the candidate and some of their staff. And that's a new reality that we live with. But what's unique about this is most of the forums that have been happening so far are all Zoom. So even the candidates mm-hmm. are not in the same room. Everybody's just sitting at home.
Yeah.
And you don't really get a chance to see side by side, the candidates as far as comparison. So we'll be doing the best we can, very strict, COVID measures or, precautions as like social distancing. Everybody has to wear a mask. So if you get one of these candidates that's anti-mask that shows up, they're not going to be able to get in.
He or she, they have to wear a mask.
They have to wear a mask to enter the hall and even sit in the hall. The only time they're allowed to remove the mask is if they're speaking on stage. So as soon as they, before they get off the stage, they got to put the mask back on, go back, because we can't take any chances with this. Now, of course, we're not going to stop our whole life, but we'll do the best we can to prevent any type of spread. Stay 6 feet apart. So there's no hugging, there's no mingling. This can't be like what, Trump's, what they're calling the White House super spreader event that infected so many people, unfortunately. And of course, even before entering, so at the mosque, they have this, this device, almost like, the metal detector at the airport that you walk through.
What does it do?
And it sprays you with this disinfectant stuff and like ultraviolet light. And also it sprays some sort of disinfectant mist to, disinfect germs or viruses.
Do they really work, Ahmed? I mean, are they reliable?
Well, I don't know. But if you have stuff on your body, it's, to at least go through. It's not 100%, but that's not the only thing. I think they're also checking temperatures at the door. The same device actually checks the temperature as well.
So everybody has to go through it when they...
Everybody has to go through it before they enter. This is even outside the building. They even have that just for service, people showing, because now they have service with social distancing at the mosque. And, it's kind of unique. You've been to a mosque, but a lot of our listeners may not have been. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is True Talk on WMNF 88.5. I'm your host, Ahmed, and my co-host, Samar, is with me live remotely from her home. But we're talking about a candidate forum that's taking place at the mosque this Sunday. And while we're talking about that, how is service at the mosque now during COVID? And for a long time, a lot of these mosques were closed. But some have reopened with strict social distancing. So normally when you go to a mosque or what we call an Arabic masjid, which is basically a house of worship, the prayer hall or the sanctuary where the actual prayer takes place is normally a room without, you know, like an empty big hall with no furniture, because the worshipers are actually standing and kneeling and sitting on the floor, prostrating, which basically means it's a type of kneeling where you actually put your forehead on the ground. And all of this is done with no furniture. Now, for elderly individuals, there are exceptions where they have, you know, chairs or pews
bunkers,
in the back.
I think,
right. But how are they doing it now with the social distancing? So some mosques are basically marking the ground, or, you know, small boxes where you could stand so that way, or sit where you're 6 feet apart from other people. Everybody has to wear a mask. They do all these temperature checks at the door. And in addition, in the mosque that I go to in Tampa, they also do this device where they spray this disinfectant mist.
Ahmed.
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't think some people know that our prayer, your foot needs to almost touch the other person's foot.
Yeah, normally. Yeah, yeah. Under normal circumstances.
Yeah, because maybe they don't know.
Yeah, normally, yeah. In normal situations, when you're actually line up for prayers, because if you've ever seen like a movie where Muslims are praying or a show, they stand everybody shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're standing in the same exact line. Everybody is, in the same line. And then they have all these lines in a row. And there's spacing in front of you in order for you to kneel down. So that's all changed now. So this is a whole new world for Muslims around the world. How they pray now is there's 6 feet between you and the next person instead of shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot. Now, the mosque here has gone to an additional step where they've actually created partitions. So now when you go there, every row has all these, like, almost cubicles with partitions and some sort of either like a plexiglass or between you and the person next to you.
Seriously?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how it is at the mosque here. So it's very weird. It's not just they're marking the floor, but they have rows and rows of these narrow partitions where you go in and it's just like big enough just for you to fit in. And, you know, there's plastic on your right and left side. So that way, even the worshiper next to you, you're not, you know, reaching. And on top of that, you have to wear these masks. So it's almost like when you go to the supermarket now and you have this plexiglass or plastic between you and the other person. Well, imagine that on your right and left. The front and back, it's open, but there's already space between you and the person in front and the back. So it's kind of unique in that way. But again, last time I'll say this, maybe I'll say it again at the end of the show. We're having this big candidate forum this Sunday for Hillsborough County. 20 candidates are going to be there. You can go to the website now, and it's open. Even though it's being hosted at the mosque, it's open to the public. Obviously, the issues, anyone can tune in. And I'd encourage listeners to do that by going to the website 2020candidateforum.eventbrite.com. But speaking of elections and forums, Samar, did you watch the debate on the other day, Wednesday?
Yeah, yes, I did.
The VP debate.
The VP debate, and it was a little bit boring. I don't know. I expected Kamala Harris to be like herself when she's in the Congress or used to be in the Congress, and she would be questioning people. She was like much more forceful. Maybe much more aggressive, but I felt that she was timid and tamed, and I felt as if the campaign asked her not to come across as a very powerful woman. I mean, this is my perspective as a woman. I'm not sure if there are other women listening to the show at the moment, if they agree or disagree with me, but Ahmed, maybe they can send emails and comments to dj@wmnf.org. But as a woman, I felt that I have seen her in other scenarios where she is much stronger, much more forceful. I don't know how to say it, but I felt like she was...
You felt like she was subdued, like she's holding back.
Subdued, yeah. She's holding back. She could be more aggressive. She could be more intelligent. She could be smarter in her answers. But it seems that there are men out there that are intimidated by smart women. I think people didn't want her to come across like another Hillary. She's just the shadow of the president. She's going to be the shadow. This is
I mean, I don't know if that's... our phone number is 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. You can start calling in. I'd be interested in hearing from women if they felt the same way. I didn't notice that, but maybe because I'm looking at it from man's, a men's perspective, which is always, different. But some people got into the saying that, that Pence was mansplaining things to her and he wasn't answering. It's like he wasn't answering any of the questions. No matter what was asked, he would just talk about something else and nobody was holding him accountable for that. And I guess some commentators noticed that when Pence was asked difficult questions or, things about abortion or other things that he didn't want to talk about, he basically deflected or pivoted to something else. And, Harris, instead of bringing him back to the real issue, she went along with him and instead of bringing it back or holding him to answer the questions. So I'd be interested in hearing what they have to say. I was looking for things that are substantive when it comes to foreign policy. Did you hear anything that stands out?
No, I think I stopped watching the last half an hour, but I think they mentioned Jerusalem. I can't remember the context of it, but I don't see. Actually, I had to go somewhere.
I can tell you the context. A lot of it when it was brought up about anti-Semitism or things like that, and Mr. Pence was saying that Trump's grandchildren are Jewish, and that his son-in-law and his wife and his daughter are Jewish. And, that's proof that he's not anti-Semitic. And he also said that he moved the embassy to Jerusalem or the capital to Jerusalem or recognizing Jerusalem. I think that's the context they talked about it in.
As if this has anything to do like foreign policy and being racist. It's two different things. But like you said, she could have corrected him several times or brought him... back to the issue that he was talking about. And some people criticized the moderator that she allowed him to go over time. But when it comes to Harris, she did not really was forceful. But
She was definitely a better moderator than the previous, than the first debate.
Well, I mean, how can you tell the president the whole time, be mindful of time, be respectful, stop being agitated? No matter who is the moderator, how can you put somebody like Trump in place in front of the whole world and everybody is watching?
Yeah,
not that he cared, but anyways.
Last show, we discovered that, so many people... I can't remember if we actually said it on the last show that he was positive. When did the news come out that Trump was positive? Was it after our last show? Friday night?
1 a.m. in the morning it was, because I woke up to the news.
Friday night or Thursday night?
I think Thursday night.
Okay, so I guess...
Which be Friday morning.
Yeah, so maybe, we already knew when Friday morning came along that he was already COVID positive. It'll be interesting. How is this being covered in the Middle East as far as Trump's being COVID positive?
Half of the people are mocking me because, for instance, I say, okay, he's taking this medication. He's on his way to the hospital. He came out of the hospital. That how come I can be fooled that he really has COVID? And people, I can't generalize, but a lot of people are suspecting that this is a gimmick, that he doesn't have it. And I try to explain to them, the White House can hide a lot of things, but not the whole country, like Walter Reed, nurses, people who clean, staff. I mean, you can't keep a lie this big.
What is the cleaning staff going to know about his...
That he's not sick, that he's okay. I don't know, but I mean, it's that's the impression of some people, that he doesn't have it.
That he's just using this as a hoax or as a way to gain sympathy.
That's one thing. The other thing, the idea that he keeps saying Eli Lilly and then sometimes names companies, they think that maybe he has investment in these things. And I tell them, you know, journalists can find out. But then they say, okay, maybe they're friends. I mean, why does he keep mentioning the names of companies? They feel that he might be promoting something. So everybody tells me, oh, once he mentions Remdesivir or whatever the name is, oh, he's probably investing in it, or he has friends who are investing and making money. So anything he does when it comes to talking about companies, people feel that he's profiting off his position.
I mean, this is the thing that so many people doubt the president, that they do that. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, and our email is dj@wmnf.org. Nancy writes in that she totally agrees with you, Summer, that Kamala was not herself, and she was very subdued and missed many opportunities. Do you agree with Nancy? Please call us at 813-239-9663. Let me see our phones here. Mike from Tampa. Mike, go ahead. Mike, if you can turn down your radio and start speaking. Hello, Mike? Sometimes they stay on the phone so long that they forget they're on the phone. Hello, Mike, are you there? Okay, well, Mike is not there, but our phone number is 813.
Ahmed, I can hear him. I think you need to press the other button. There are two, because you have me on the radio show.
Yeah, I know I have you on the radio show. I brought him on the air.
You have to click another input or output.
Okay, well, our phone number is 813-239-9663. I mean, this is the same system that we use, and I brought you on the same way, so... I'm using the Comdeck.
You're not going to listen to me because you're a guy.
No. I'm listening to you.
I was able to hear him, Ahmed.
Were you? What did he say?
Yeah. Mike was talking and he didn't have echo in the background.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, if you're there, please call back 813-239-9663. Summer, can you, why should people be concerned about Trump's health?
Oh, let me think, because maybe he can make important decisions that affect the lives of other people, not only here in the U.S., but in the rest of the world. So, I mean, the guy is spending the whole time tweeting and watching TV, and then he comes out and he does these theatrical videos and he rambles around. So people are really... like sending me questions, is he really with it? Maybe the steroids are affecting him. And, you know, with what he did with the peace between the Emirates, Bahrain, and Israel, and then the embassy in Jerusalem, he affects people's lives and destinies. So, yes, they do pay attention to him. Some people say, okay, maybe we are obsessing about him, but he did change facts on the grounds in the Middle East and the Arab world. So, of course, the people are concerned.
That's right, Summer. I guess I have Mike back on now, and I think it might work because I listened to your advice. So, let's see.
Alhamdulillah.
Mike, welcome back to True Talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm on a different phone. I wanted to talk about voter suppression. The last thing said about voter suppression was next to the Republicans. So I would say the Democrats are more into voter suppression than the Republicans.
How is that?
Because the Democrats are the ones that are going to court trying to keep certain parties off the ballot.
Which certain parties are you referring to?
The Green Party, for one. Hmm. They went to court in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and got the Green Party kicked off the ballot, even though they had enough petitions to get on the ballot. And I think that's the most impressive with a time for that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I could see how people could spin that as voter suppression, but it could also be because, you know, some people who will play dirty politics, for example, I can they can go to a smaller party. For example, Republican operatives can go and find candidates to run for office in and make it a three-way race. I mean, there was all this talk that Kanye West is being funded and supported by many consultants that worked for Trump, and that he's a distraction or a way to pull away votes from Biden. So maybe lawyers that represent the Democratic Party, when they see that type of situation happening, they want to try to prevent things like that. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, and our email is dj@wmnf.org. Summer, do you think that there's going to be any substantive change in foreign policy when it comes to, you know, Biden? Is there going to be a difference between Biden and Trump when it comes to foreign policy, especially towards the Middle East and the Muslim world?
Well, I think when it comes to the Arab world, or at least to Palestine and Jerusalem and all that, he's not going to change a lot. He's not going to discourage people from making peace with Israel, for instance. But maybe where we can...
What's wrong with peace with Israel? I think you need to clarify that. What's wrong with making peace with Israel?
Yeah, I'm not saying... I'm saying that he's not going to stop people from making peace or not encourage that. That's what I'm saying. Because some people think of what happened between the Emirates, Bahrain, and Israel is not a substantive... a peace, because they do not have borders, they were not engaged in wars, they have not fought each other. So one should not exaggerate the
importance of it. But I mean, other people are just saying it's just a ruse anyway, that this is just a ploy by the White House to show him as a peacemaker and redefine who he is and doing something, you know, when in reality, this is not really a peace, that these countries were actually friendly and working behind the scenes together for many decades.
Yeah, so for instance, if you really want to be making a good, important peace, you might bring the Palestinians and the Israelis to a different type of negotiating table, not the roadmap that was never really a roadmap to peace. That's what I'm talking, a peace that counts, but not a theatrical show at the White House to take pictures and then really, okay, what's the end of the day? All they're talking about is to make more money and business, and which really doesn't affect the normal human being and his daily life. But Ahmed, I know you want to talk about politics, but there is a question that I received since last night, and I couldn't really answer it, and it has to do with the FBI finding a plot to kidnap the Michigan governor. I think her name is Gretchen Whitmer. So everybody, Ahmed, was asking me, why Michigan? Does it have anything to do with the fact that there are a lot of Arab Americans living there? I never made the connection, to be honest with you. But I want just to shift gears a little bit and talk about it, because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to answer.
Well, okay, as we shift, I just want to tell our listeners that this is True Talk.
And they're not Muslim, you know.
Yeah, I just want to tell our listeners this is True Talk on WMNF, and I'm speaking with Summer. Summer, you brought up this plot that just happened. You know, the thing that came to mind, a foil plot that happened in Michigan with an attempt to kidnap the governor. I mean, this is a huge thing. The thing that came to my mind was, can you imagine if these were a bunch of, you know, quote-unquote Muslim terrorists or Muslim militia people, or people of color that were carrying this out or attempting to, the reaction that would happen and the news that would be around this. I mean, this is not being mentioned around the clock. They're not even calling it a terrorist attack or a terrorist attempt or terrorism. So there's definitely this double standard when it comes to white militias and white people that are carrying out, you know, white terrorism. I mean, this is a governor, and it's a political crime. And the definition of terrorism is supposed to be if it's a type of crime that is, you know, to pressure or to apply political pressure, this is a type of terrorism. But for some reason, our society and politicians and the media has a hard time accepting white people that commit these types of terrorist acts or attempt to do so. And this is not the first time. There's been many foiled plots since 9/11 of these militias and armed groups that are trying to either, you know, detonate mosques or kill people or kill politicians. And it's never, it just, you know, they, it gets a one or two headlines and they move on. And, you know, it's treated differently that way. I don't know if you see it the same way or notice the same thing.
Yes, of course. Do you know if there is any more security around mosques these days or it's just the same?
Well, no, I mean, the mosque that I could go to, there's always security, and especially during times of prayer, because, again, there's, you know, there's a lot of tension, and things have changed dramatically, especially after the Christchurch shooting that happened in New Zealand, where the armed person, armed terrorist, went out and shot and killed so many innocent people in the mosque that were worshiping on Friday, a day like this. And imagine just walking, going in with a live camera and starting to shoot people. And he showed no remorse whatsoever in, you know, at his trial. And this is the thing. Oftentimes, there's so much hatred directed at the Muslim community, so much racism, and so much misinformation that individuals become brainwashed and are impacted by these. And, of course, social media even makes it worse. I mean, have you seen this movie on Netflix called Social Dilemma?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you should, because it shows you, I mean, it's so eye-opening and enlightening about how social media is actually changing our culture and the mentality of people. They have it down so good now, the techniques and the tactics and the strategies and the algorithms, that they can shift public opinion and people's mind and even culture, over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%. And that could be enough to create a nightmare. And many of these people are worried about what they consider to be a civil war that's coming, cultural war, because you've got two or polarized communities, both of them having two sets of beliefs and facts. Like, the same exact thing happens, and they hear it and understand it and interpret it one way. The other group sees it completely different or the opposite, and they're both seeing their own media, their own news feeds, their own timelines that are reinforcing their misconceived, you know, notions already. So it's really dangerous when you don't have, when not everybody's watching the same thing and they can fact check. When you have, when specific individuals are receiving a timeline or a news feed on their social media that's geared just for them, that's curated just for them, and oftentimes filled with fake news just for them. And that type of fake news is news that they're already susceptible to believing anyway. Like,
God.
I mean, this is something like you're telling them something they already have suspicion about or kind of believe it, and you're reinforcing that belief, which is already a lie. So it just reinforces, and they're like, I told you. And then they're in their own world. When I look at my newsfeed, it's different than theirs. So it's not like I see what they're watching and I can correct them.
Oh, my God.
And then,
and who's doing, like,
so many different groups
doing this?
I mean, because of political groups are doing it, big corporations are doing it to be able to shift things, you know, when it comes to buying stuff. But also governments are doing it. When you see Russia meddling in elections, not only in America and other places, America doing that overseas, dictatorships like in Saudi Arabia using those same algorithms, and in China to be able to control their populations and feed them certain things. In those countries where it's not as polarized, but basically they use it to control the population. But in free, you know, quote unquote, free societies like the United States, it actually starts creating polarized communities. And then when you add that so many people are armed, then it becomes a recipe for disaster. When you have people that just go in and start shooting individuals or plotting to kidnap the governor for whatever reason that they've been, you know, brainwashed to believe that she's somehow the enemy. But I'm going to go to Patty in Sarasota. She's been on hold. Patty, you're on You're live with us. Welcome.
Golly, there's just so much, isn't there? I'm like, yeah. I'm going to mention this. Okay, number one, I did hear, and, you know, I was listening to CNN about Governor Whitmer's, you know, potential kidnapping or whatever, and they did mention, you know, the whole thing that Christopher Wray, I guess the FBI director, said our main problem now is domestic terrorism. So at least they are referring to it. It's kind of like we are our own worst enemy.
Right.
And so our own worst enemies, because there's, when the sense of entitlement, and I'm not saying people aren't suffering, but I think what happens is when they're really angry, you know, we're Americans, we should be able to do this, you know, that sort of pompous purity thing or something. They got real mad, and remember they were storming the Capitol in Michigan.
Yes.
And I'm from Michigan, and, you know, I know that's the highest, you know, Muslim population as far as in the United States, I think, Dearborn, Michigan. And, you know, it's so funny because I grew up in the, you know, in Michigan, 60s, 70s. And I just remember thinking that, because we often went into Dearborn and the exotic, you know, it was like another world. And I just thought it was so normal. I think when you're more around communities like that, obviously people who grew up in New York and whatever, the same thing. And they're not, it's not like a scary alien thing.
Right.
So, you know, what's more scary are white people, and I'm a white generic American, as my friend refers to me, you know, it's more scary because that is more twisted these days, and it's genetic jealousy, I think, and I think it's fear of the other. Rather than embracing the fact that, you know what, we are all like, I mean, you look at the dog world and the incredible breeds and beauty and the colors and the, basically.
And they can coexist.
Well, human beings, we're diverse, and you know, and if I say, oh, it's like all the dog breeds, that's not insulting people. Those creatures God made, and they're incredibly beautiful. And so why wouldn't you want to learn, adapt, be around, whether it's an Italian person, a Middle Eastern person, all the gifts, all the things they do in their culture that you can then learn and suck into your own generic American, in my case, self. So I think there's a lot of fear-mongering. And it's all the same stuff comes from, I think, a deep sense of insecurity and fear. And I always remember what that line from one of Bob Dylan's songs, and I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I love Israel, but I don't, you know, but I think there has to be an answer.
You love Jesus and you love Israel? Is that what you said?
Yes. Okay. He was a Jew, so it's a natural thing for me. But I don't agree. You know, human beings and not going sort of by their so-called spiritual beliefs, they're going to not practice with others, right? In the true loving way. And so it's always been trouble in the Middle East from biblical times. And I know, Trump, you were saying something that was interesting to me, or maybe it was Summer, about they were already friendly. The countries that have kind of done this so-called peace deal,
right,
they were already, you know, not at each other. And so I think, yeah, I think Trump adapts to what he knows people will digest. And he doesn't really, it's not like at his root he cares, in my opinion, he cares about Jewish people. It's not at his root he cares about African-American people. Whatever's working, if he can get a coalition of the, I just saw something about his coalition with the people of color for Trump. If he can bamboozle them, I think, so they think, oh, he's wonderful, he's for us. I don't think anything comes, and I hate to say this, but there are some so-called humans that don't seem really human. I don't think it comes from his heart. If this Israel, if it, the capital of Israel, Jerusalem, he did that. That's just been obviously history. But let's just say it was Polynesia having trouble, and we had to move our embassy in Polynesia. He would have just gone to Polynesia to do it.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll have to leave it there.
Crazy. All right, thank you.
Kept her on for a while, Summer, but I have so many other calls. If you don't mind, I'll take them. John from St. Pete, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, John, go ahead. You're on True Talk with WMNF, Summer and Ahmed.
Yeah, I was listening to you talk about the Kamala Harris.
Yeah, right.
I don't know the name of your female host.
Summer.
Summer.
Like the season.
Right on about, they didn't want to show an angry black woman at all.
So you felt the same way?
Well, you look at Fox News at all, and all those representatives for Trump, they're always pushing that. She's a left-wing, you know, this and that. And she just smiled. You ever seen her smile that much?
That's true.
No.
When he was talking, she just kept smirking. And I thought, I don't know if this is a good look because, you know.
He's just like a calm liar. Trump's an angry liar. But anyway, he didn't mention that fly on his head for 2 minutes and 3 seconds. And that's really symbolic. He had a red eye and he had a fly on his head.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, that's symbolic. It means like a decay, death.
Mm.
It's actually, I read on Twitter, there is a verse in the Bible about insects attacking people who have moral issues. I don't know which one it is.
People are going to remember that fly more than any of that.
That's what it got so much attention. And I thought at the beginning, like, you know, like with all that's happening, everybody's just focusing on the fly, and a lot of it were these memes. But I guess it has a lot more, it's a lot more symbolic.
Can you imagine if that fly landed on Kamala Harris?
Oh, yeah.
What would they be doing? They would be like raging over there.
Mm.
All the evangelicals would be on there. Oh, you know, it's the end of the world. God came down, and you know.
Okay. All right, John. Thanks for calling. I'm going to go to Carlos in Tampa. Carlos, you're on Truth Talk. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of questions. Number one, Trump is trying to revive the white supremacy. You want to call it ideology or whatever.
And why?
Don't you see how many people with guns? Because, hey, let's revive America as it was back in 1900, which is, you know, and the rest of the population, they are just slaves. If it's up to him, everybody will be thrown out into the ocean, 100%. If Trump was in 1900, he will throw everybody back to the ocean if he's now white. That's the truth. Let's call everything as there is. The second thing is, all to me personally, all this voting, it means nothing, because all you see, two-party system, is the establishment, you know what I mean? Nothing is going to happen. Look, I'm a foreigner. I can see clearly. This country, you have to pay for your own education, high education. You have to pay for. You pay for your own health care. There is no social safety net. There is nothing. If you don't work, you die. I mean, and people is like, oh, it's free over there. I don't want the government to give me anything. The government never give you anything. This is your taxpayer. We pay the money. We want our money to go to the health care, education, and to the social programs, just like everything.
But how will you do that if you're not believing that, you know, that the voting will make a difference?
Absolutely. It's a joke. How you do that? You clean the whole thing. You clean the two-party system. The two-party system has to go. It's a joke. This is a joke. You know what I mean? Can you believe that, Biden was lagging behind, and before you know it, he's the front runner, and the guy, mosquito bite will send him to the grave. It's sad. You know, I mean, come on, look how many million America, that's the best thing you can offer. Someone can even stand on his foot. He's shaking. Hey, come on. It's
okay, thank you, Carlos. Thank you for calling in. I'm going to go to...
Ahmed, just a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I googled flies in the Bible. There are 15 instances where there are verses about flies. That's why I was reading that today. So many quotes from the Bible. It does have a lot of religious connotations when a fly lands on somebody's head.
There is. There's also flies mentioned in the Quran, but it mentions it in the way in the miracle. God is challenging people to say, like, you know, look at, you know, how sophisticated or complex even a fly is, and that God made this fly. And also there's another one about the ant and one about the bees. So yeah. These small insects are also mentioned in the Quran, but not in the context of evil, but context of, like, these small miracle, creatures that God says he created are able to do so much.
Yeah, so it has different contexts, of course, and at least 15 of them are in the Bible. People can Google them and find them.
I also want to just to mention about flies in the Quran or insects, that God is challenging, you know, anyone to make a fly. Like, you know, for the really? Disbelievers back then in their rhetoric, he's saying, like, you know, you can't even make a fly, you know, which is basically the smallest insect that they knew of. And, you know, what about other bigger things? So I'm going to go to Mike in Brandon. He wants to talk about the ongoing Middle East conflict. Mike, you're on True Talk on WMNF.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
A couple of things.
Yes.
Jesus wasn't a Jew. The conflict in the Middle East has not been going on since biblical times. That's a lie. And his name wasn't Jesus, because the letter J wasn't invented until the 1500s. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, I think, Ahmed, what Patty said is what, you know, people keep repeating without really knowing the reality, that they have been fighting over there for thousands of years. I've heard that like a million times, so I have to agree.
What do you have to agree with?
No, it's not true. The Middle East started to get messed up once the British and the French and all these colonizers and expansionist colonizers started to come and carve the Middle East, and then they planted a Jewish state in the heart of the Arab Muslim world. And this is where it all started. Like, it's not like the Jews and the Arabs and the Muslims were hating each other, because Christianity lived and survived in the heart of the Arab world.
True. And until, I mean, as proof of that, until now, because Christianity was there before Islam, and many of the pre-Islam historical churches are still intact, preserved until today. In these Muslim lands. So, yeah, the proof is there. Nancy writes on email saying that Trump has been, you know, constantly attacking Michigan's governor for some time, and that could have been also one of the reasons for the incitement of this plot to go after, to try to kidnap her. And I'm going to go back. I have Maria from Tampa. Maria, you're on True Talk on WMNF.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I would like to talk about the idea of Kamala. I totally agree with Summer. I think that she could be more aggressive.
She should have been more aggressive?
No, more aggressive. Maybe the word is not aggressive, but maybe more serious about many questions that they asked and she didn't answer. And I do think that as a woman from Colombia, I've been living here for 5 years, and part of the comments that through this week I've been listening and doubting if it, like, some women accept that, oh, yeah, it's not a big deal, whatever. If you're a politician, you have to accept these behaviors. But I do think that many people forget that they are the leaders of the country, and a lot of people follow what they do. And the fact that Pence all the time, but over time, was trying to handle the debate in his convenience, show me that pretty much in this society, you have to accept that men have always the right, or they have to lead the conversation, which I think that it's totally inappropriate.
Correct.
Especially coming from the leaders. And asking the question of the last list of power that said, like, what can we do? I think that we forgot that we are individuals, and on a daily basis, every day we can make actions to change what is happening. We cannot maybe eliminate all the problems that the government do, but we can start as the youth. I'm 31 years old, and I'm very concerned of how me as a foreign living here, what can we do? And I think that part of this conversation must be working towards the real actions that we can take from now on.
Maria, we're out of time. Thank you for calling in. I hope you can call us again in the future. Thank you for your thoughts. She makes a good point. Summer, we're out of time. You know, there is, I received a couple of emails, one from Tina, basically saying Kamala Harris did just fine. She couldn't be more aggressive and she stood her ground. I can't read her entire email because I'm actually out of time. And this wraps up our show today. This is True Talk on WMNF. NPR News is next. After that, it's Rob Loray with Radioactivity. Have a great weekend. And don't forget the candidate forum this Sunday, October 11th. You can watch it online. And to register, visit 2020candidateforum.eventbrite.com. 2020candidateforum.eventbrite.com. Have a great weekend.